Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We begin in Kenosha, Wisconsin. That's where President Trump is today to visit the headquarters of Snap-on Incorporated, a tool manufacturer. You've seen their trucks. Based in the congressional district of House Speaker Paul Ryan. It's Trump's first visit as president to the state. That he won by just under 23,000 votes, turning it red for the first time since Ronald Reagan's 1984 sweep. But Donald Trump's approval rating in the state sits at about 41% with a 47% disapproval mandate. We contacted two conservative voters, expecting to find bitter, disappointed, disillusioned Dairy Staters. See if you can find it. Anthony Zito, a 34-year-old car salesman from La Crosse who voted for Trump. 33-year-old Matthew Olson from Ellsworth, a truck driver working closely with the dairy industry. He did not vote for Trump, but see if you can find the disillusionment. Anthony, take it away.
I think one of the concerns that I ran into and hoping that he didn't have a problem with is that once you get in, whose agenda do you start filling? And one of the things that I noticed right away is I like the fact that he came in there. He has his own agenda. For the last 30 years, we've all seen that things aren't going as stellar as we'd hope, at least since Reagan, that's for sure. And the way he does things, as far as, if you don't like it, things still got to get done. So you can not like me for who I am, but I still got a job to do, and he's doing his job.
Didn't get a lot done, though, in that first 100 days, Anthony. And Matthew, jump in if you want.
Well, to the point of the not getting a lot done 100 days, I think what he's finding out, and like most presidents find out, is that without Congress, this is the way executive branch is meant to be. It was never supposed to be a kingdom or a king and things like that. And that's what frustrated me most about Obama and his executive orders that seemed very frequently. And even when Trump was starting to do it, too, I was like, I don't really like that. But to the same point, he's getting a sense of how dysfunctional Washington really is with Republicans not even being able to agree on such things as repealing Obamacare, with something they've run on now for six, seven years now and hasn't been able to get done yet. I do see an uptrend myself, too, actually being a truck driver and kind of going all over the state of Wisconsin, literally from west to east, north and south. I do see quite a bit of positive signs. The only problem is right now we're in the midst of a dairy price crisis, which I don't know if that's something Donald Trump necessarily can help, but I do know that I do see a lot of roads. I'd see a lot of trucks. I see a lot of traffic. I see businesses being kind of revamped and restarted. And there does seem to be some investment done on the private sector side of things, which is encouraging.
But President Trump can sure make it miserable for the dairy farmers by all the immigration executive orders and the travel ban.
Go ahead, Anthony. You go.
Sure. To speak on a little bit on the executive orders, when you look at the history of the executive orders that were put into place by Obama, a lot of them he's circumventing Congress. So the executive orders that he's putting in place, so for example, the immigration law, this is not Trump's ban. This was Obama's countries that he selected. He just never carried out the travel ban.
Yeah. So I'm more interested in what's going on the ground in Wisconsin. I mean, forget Obama. This is Trump.
So in Wisconsin, as far as immigration is concerned, speaking of the dairy sector of things, yes, there is some concern. However, as we've been seeing now, most of the immigration things have been happening towards people that commit crimes. Now, I run into Hispanic workers every day, and I tell you what, without them, the dairy industry in this state would fall flat. But to the same point, like almost all conservatives, almost all Republicans, we don't have a problem with immigrants. What we have a problem is with illegal immigrants. And so if there's a legal way, green cards, working visa, I worked in New Zealand for 6 months when I got done with college, and I had a visa. So that's all that Republicans, that's all that anyone wants. All our ancestors were immigrants at one time, were allowed to come here, but they all had to go through a process, a legal process. And so that's my stance on it. So I understand and recognize the fact that we do need laborers for our industry. Because you can't find American workers. You won't be able to find me because I can't afford to make $10 an hour milking cows for 8 hours. I need an income that can support my lifestyle. So with that said, actually, I have to go, John and Anthony, because I'm at work right now. So I apologize if I have to call it short, but I am the working class, so I got to work.
All right.
Appreciate it.
You have a good day there, Matthew.
Thank you, John. Bye.
Thanks, Matt.
Anthony, let me push back a little bit on something you said. You said that Donald Trump is bringing in new faces, new something or other, you know, drain the swamp kind of idea that he was talking about during the campaign. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, the administration is full of people from Goldman Sachs and a bunch of generals and a lot of conservatives and, you know.
Sure.
I mean, a lot of conservative, like, fundraiser people, like, you know, the Secretary of Education. I mean, is that really so much of a turn the page, drain the swamp?
I don't look at it like that. But as far as draining the swamp, I do think that we do need other people in Congress that don't have affiliation. I don't care what color they are. And if they are successful people, I'm not the type of person to sit there and point the finger and say, oh, well, he's making $100 million. Well, you know, screw that. I need to make that too. Well, if I need to make that, I need to go and get that. I'm not looking at color. I'm not looking at, you know, their lifestyle. I'm looking at now. You know, what are they doing now?
What's the thing in the first 100 days that's most impressed you and most worried you about Donald Trump, Anthony?
You know, obviously the threat of war is a worry, so I'll put that out there. And at the end of the day, I don't think any human being in this world wants war. I mean, even Kim wouldn't want war. But I do feel that I feel like we have a good grasp on things. I feel like, you know, with General Mattis in place, I feel strongly, very strongly good about that. But the good things I do like is his progression to move forward, you know, get things done. Even though I'm getting hit hammered from all sides, I still got a job to do, and I see him doing that. You know, the man sleeps only a couple hours a night, and you're not sitting there just twiddling your thumbs as the president of the United States. I like how he's moving the country forward, and it's about America.
All right, Anthony, you have a good day.
Hey, you too. Thank you very much.
Anthony Zito is a car salesman in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and we spoke before he had to go to work to Matthew Olson, who's a dairy industry loader and driver in Ellsworth, Wisconsin. So two Republican voices there, but we should remind you that Donald Trump won Wisconsin mostly because Democrats didn't vote as expected. Sherwin Hughes is host of the Forum radio show on WNOV in Milwaukee, as well as a Democratic political consultant. Welcome, Sherwin.
Great to be with you, John.
So what's the temperature of the Democratic electorate in Wisconsin right now?
Still as it was on and prior to the election, very upset, very confused about what is happening with this administration. A lot of the promises that had been made had been backtracked on, if he even planned on making those promises come to fruition anyway. And I think we'll see with the protests today what the real temperature is of the Democratic electorate here in Wisconsin.
When you say protests, do you think that there's a you know, message that is national that's going to be delivered here, or is it very much a statewide message?
I think it'll be some of both. The national message, of course, there will be people at the protest that are going to want the president to release his taxes, which he still has not done. But also, is he going to make good on his promises to bring back manufacturing jobs? And I find it very ironic that he's going to Snap-on Tools, and they haven't produced anything at that particular location since 2003. And he's here promoting his Buy American, Hire American. But if there is a demand for additional labor and new jobs, it'll be because of the economy that Barack Obama left behind.
Wait a minute. He's going to a Snap-on Tools facility that hasn't made anything, that's like shuttered?
Well, there's high-level engineering, white-collar jobs there, but it's not an actual manufacturing plant because those jobs left some 14 years ago. So it's very ironic. But the presidency itself has been very ironic.
Well, the protesters could mention that maybe.
Well, I'm sure they will.
And how many people do you expect on the street? And how much is security keeping the protesters away from the president's photo op?
From what we've seen, there's going to be an awful lot of security. There's something like 40 tractor trailer trucks that are blocking the main way to the actual site. There's traffic that's been blocked off. There have been streets that have been barricaded. So I don't think the protesters will be anywhere near where the president is actually going to be. But the most important thing, I think, for us to watch here in Wisconsin is the appearance of Donald Trump with our Republican governor, Scott Walker. And they were rivals during the Republican primary. And let's see how they photo op together on this interesting visit.
This election in 2016 was about angry white voters, you know, deciding to disrupt things with a candidate named Donald Trump, and African-American voters who just weren't excited enough about Hillary Clinton to turn out in the places where the Electoral College really needed them to turn out. Is it possible that African-Americans will become an angry constituency between now and 2018 and 2020, and that they will either shift parties or find another candidate or realign in some way?
It's tough to say, because there's always a reason for African-Americans, especially in Wisconsin, to be angry. We have the largest achievement gaps in education. We incarcerate more African-American men than any other state. Our public school system is lackluster at best. There's 42%+ black male unemployment in the city of Milwaukee. So I think that anger has always been there. But a lot of people forget Hillary Clinton has never been a favorite of Wisconsin voters. She lost in 2008 to Barack Obama. She lost to Bernie Sanders in our Democratic primary last year and then lost a third time to Donald Trump. So she's never really been a favorite. And when you have a candidate like her, and she was very polarizing, that does not do much to increase Democratic turnout.
So from your perspective, best news in the state is the Milwaukee Bucks right now in the NBA playoffs.
I just drove past the new stadium that they're building for our Bucks and everything. So we're hoping they're going to perform well.
Let's talk about that. Are the Bucks a kind of fan base that brings Wisconsin voters together, or are they just, you know, sort of like the Knicks, rich people go to the Garden?
Well, I think it is a team that brings a lot of the folks together, because, you know, with the new stadium, there was a lot of excitement around that because we were fearful that we would lose one of our sports teams. And the thing about Milwaukee is we're not a very big city, but we have an awful lot of professional sports teams. And so those are some of the things that do, you know, bring the reason for people to coalesce together, to not talk about politics and forget our differences for a moment in this very segregated city. We just go and watch a game, or go to Miller Park and watch the Brewers, or go to the other arenas and watch the hockey game. So it brings people together.
Is it enough to turn Wisconsin blue, or is it going to be red for the foreseeable future before we go?
So that's tough. So now, with Paul Ryan being Speaker of the House and from Janesville, with Reince Priebus, who is the president's chief of staff, who is also from Kenosha, and Ron Johnson, our Republican senator, who was just reelected to another 6-year term, the amount of money that's going to pour into Wisconsin to keep it red is going to be very, very tough for Democrats to compete with for the foreseeable future.
Good point. Sherwin Hughes, host of The Forum on WNOV. Check it out. He's also a Democratic political consultant. Thanks, Sherwin.
Thank you.